Well, good morning.
Good morning.
On behalf of the staff, the volunteers, and most of all our neighbors who come to us for assistance, grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Some of you know my wife, Denise. She gave me two pieces of instruction in preparation for preaching this morning. One, she pulled off a Facebook reminder that there is a fine line between a long sermon and a hostage situation, so keep it short, stupid. And the second thing she said, realize that it's been a long time since you preached on anything other than the house of the carpenter, so just keep in mind, when you are done, the congregation will definitely appreciate Jake a lot more once you leave. So with that having been put in mind, I understand where I stand this morning. I want you to hear the gospel, but it's not going to be from the traditions that you're used to. I'm going to use the Common English Bible. Part of my preaching with the House of the Carpenter, most of the folks that we have, some of them struggle with reading, so we use a much simpler translation. So this is the gospel from the Common English Bible. Jesus and his followers went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and started teaching. The people were amazed by his teaching, for he was teaching them with authority and not like the legal experts. Suddenly, there in the synagogue, a person with an evil spirit screamed, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One from God." "Silence," Jesus spoke harshly to the demon. "Come out of him." And the unclean spirit shook him and screamed, and then it came out. Everyone was shaken and questioned among themselves, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He even commands unclean spirits and they obey him." Right away, the news about him spread throughout the entire region of Galilee. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus is in the early stages of his campaign for the kingdom of God. He's been baptized by John, and in the baptism he has seen the heavens split apart and the Spirit of God descend like a dove and rest upon him. He has heard the words, "You are my beloved Son, and with you I am well pleased." He has been tempted and tried in the wilderness, and he has emerged announcing the coming of the kingdom of God. He has visited the Sea of Galilee and called his first disciples, and in keeping with the Gospel of Mark, they have immediately left their boats and their nets, and they have begun to follow him. And so as he enters the town of Capernaum, and on the Sabbath he enters the synagogue to worship, he begins to teach. Gathered in that synagogue, much as we are gathered in this place today, they came to hear the scripture. They came to study the word. They came to be in prayer. They came to be as a community of faith. And so as they gathered in this time, Jesus begins expounding upon the scripture, upon the coming of the kingdom. And the people are utterly amazed because he's not talking as if someone who has studied the word. He's talking as someone who has been face to face with God. He is speaking with a power and with an authority and with a strength that they have never seen before. They are amazed and they are enthralled and they are wondering what is taking place. But then suddenly the stillness of the moment is shattered by a screaming of a man that no one expected to be there. They didn't expect someone to come in with an unclean spirit, someone coming in with a sense of evil surrounding them. They never expected him to be present. And then suddenly the spirit begins to shout, to disrupt the time, to shatter the worship. And it shouts out not to challenge Jesus, but to shake the foundation of those who are in worship. I know who you are. Why are you here? You're here to destroy us. The accusations to Jesus are the challenge of the Spirit to shake the foundations of those who were hearing the good news of a coming of a kingdom. It was trying to sow doubt and fear and uncertainty and pull people away from the good news of what Jesus was proclaiming. You've seen it. You've been there. You've experienced it. When someone starts accusing someone for whatever reason, doubts and uncertainties and concerns begin to arise. And even the best of news becomes tainted. Now, so far, nobody has screamed in the midst of worship this morning. But at the same time, there is a real sense that for some folks, those same unclean spirits are shouting in our own spirits. They're whispering in our ears. They're shouting in our hearts. Do you really think that you can be forgiven, given what you've done? Do you truly believe that Jesus actually cares about you? Do you honestly think grace can be extended even unto you? You realize there's no such thing as hope and peace and love in this world and this life everlasting? Well, it's just a fairy tale. Even as we come into worship in this place, there are spirits that are screaming into us, it's not real. It's not true. You can't trust it. You can't believe it. And so no matter what good news is announced, there is that echo of doubt that is born within us. And we need to hear how Jesus deals with those spirits that arise. Be silent. Be quiet. Quit talking. I do not want to hear your voice. Jesus is saying to the Spirit, your words are deceitful. Your words are lies. Your heart is set on destruction. Be silent and speak no more. And Jesus says to those who are gathered in worship, people of God, listen no more. The words of this unclean spirit would take everything from you. Do not hear. Do not listen and do not give credence to what this spirit has said. In fact, unclean spirit, be gone. Be gone from this house, for this is the house of God. Unclean spirit, be gone from this place, for these are the people of God. Be gone, for this is the place of the coming of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is present here. This is not a place for the unclean spirit. Be gone and bother us no more. For this is the coming of the kingdom of God. And the Spirit goes. Doesn't go quietly, but it goes. And the people are amazed. For Jesus has authority. He has power. And he has used it in the presence of the community. Jesus has announced the kingdom is at hand. But it's not just the words that he has said. It's what they have experienced. It's what we have experienced when the presence of God has touched the heart and the soul and our own spirit. When you know the kingdom is real and it's here and it is present. When you recognize that Jesus has an authority and a presence and a power that no one else has ever had or ever expressed. But in the days to come, they're going to discover that Jesus not only has the power to cast out a spirit, but he also has the ability to heal the disease, to make the lame to walk, to allow the blind to see, to pull together the children that no one else thought were important, and to bless them, to bestow peace when no one thought it was possible, to forgive sin, to raise the dead, to promise and bestow the gift of the Holy Spirit and of everlasting life. It's no wonder the people were amazed. Jesus had the power and the authority to challenge and to defeat the greatest fears of our lives. And in the midst of that defeat, replace the fear with the gifts of hope and of joy, with peace and forgiveness, of life and of love. He has the power and authority to restore our relationship with God. He has the power and authority to usher in the kingdom of God. He has the power and authority to say, all is forgiven, the past is forgotten, and the future is secure as we move forward towards a kingdom and towards life everlasting. He has the power and the authority. And he has used it to bless the people of God. It is a gift that we are anxious and eager and willing to receive. But before you grasp it, but before you hold it too tight, be aware of one thing. When you accept the authority of Jesus to bless and to heal, you also have to accept his authority to command. For the same one that will heal and restore is the same one who will tell us that you have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. You can love nothing or no one above God. This is the same one that will point to this person that you see and say, no matter how many different ways you can find things to make them different from you, they are still my sister and my brother. And they are your neighbor. And they are your sister and brother. And you will love them the way you love yourself. And you know that person that has made you angry, that has offended you or insulted you, you will forgive them, as he will say to Peter, 70 times 7. And you will forgive them the way God has forgiven you. He will tell you to feed my sheep. He will call you to clothe the naked and visit the prison and care for the sick. And he will tell you that your first priority is to announce the good news of the coming of the kingdom of God and to make disciples. Accepting the authority of Jesus to bless and to heal is a marvelous gift. but it's also accepting his authority to command. And just as we know that he will bless, we also know that he will command. And we know that when he blesses, he will command us to change the way that we live, and in changing the way that we live, we'll begin the process of changing the world. Maybe that's why most of the folks gathered in the synagogue in Capernaum were still talking among themselves. What is this? A new kind of teaching, and this teaching has authority? They were talking about it. As Jesus was rising from the seats in the synagogue and headed towards the door, as the continuation of the campaign for the kingdom of God was exiting the building and going into the world, they were standing around talking. What is this? A new teaching? Jesus is preparing to walk out of worship and continue the journey into the world around us, announcing the coming of the kingdom of God, continuing the ministry of blessing and of commanding. And we face one of the most significant moments, knowing of his authority and of his power. Do we stand and talk about the authority and the teaching? Or do we rise with his disciples and prepare to walk with him? It's one thing to remain and talk, but it is entirely something else to rise and walk with him.